Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
All right, Schmoville, what's happening? Here, Josh McCuga talking Guilty Movie Pleasures with my co-host, Best Bud. You know him from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's in Love.
That's exactly it. It's a remake of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and it's a G-rated version of it.
It still stars, what's her name?
Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate.
And the old lady, she's still alive.
Uh-huh. And Alicia Silverstone makes an appearance in this one.
Does
she's
she?
Great. No.
Oh, okay. We're making this up. I'm not in anything called that.
Ben, I follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Begley Comedy. Follow me at Josh McCuga. Just hashtag it GMP. That's what we hashtag on the show. Today we're talking. This is our first Seagal movie.
Oh, yeah.
On Guilty Movie Pleasures. I'm a huge Seagal fan.
I thought I was.
Until you
I'm a little. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah. We're talking Under Siege.
Under Siege. Don't be confused because there's three movies on here.
Yeah, this one.
It's the middle. It was $6 for all three.
The one in the middle. It was $6 for all three.
Yeah,
movies?
That's pretty stoked.
Man. Under Siege 2, Dark Territory. Wait, I did see that. What's the one in the last
It's on a
right?
train. Yeah, yeah it's yeah. terrible.
Yeah, he
it's
falls real. In love with that Eskimo girl.
It's real
so
bad.
Hot.
It's real bad. No, you're thinking that's the different one. That's on Deadly Ground.
That is on Deadly Ground. So I've never seen Under Siege 2 then. We were talking before the show. This movie doesn't really hold up that well.
Yeah, sorry, GMP fans, if you love this movie. I admit that at the time I loved it, but watching it now, it just felt like a lame Die Hard on a boat.
Yeah, agreed.
It felt like Die Hard meets Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Ooh,
with too. A chubby Seagal.
Oh, he was putting on without, well, he's a cook.
Without his ponytail,
yeah.
But still a little wispies in the back. He got a little bit of wings going on.
A little flap.
He is a cook, you're right. He's been Guy Fieri-ing.
Do you remember the first time
fighting.
You saw it?
I rented it on video, okay. on VHS. I didn't see it in theaters, because... But I remember renting it from the local store Video Time, 99-cent video rentals, and I think the only thing I actually remembered from the movie was Erika Eleniak, or however you say her name, her
Playboy,
boobs.
July 1989.
I remember her boobs, and I remembered Tommy Lee Jones getting his eye poked out, and then I vaguely remembered the rest.
I just remembered the knife in the skull. I didn't remember the eye poke, I remember the knife in the skull.
It's just, you know, most movies, like... I think I may have only watched the actual movie once, and then her boobs like 75 times.
Dude, this was maybe... I remember the first time I saw it, because same thing, my buddy Colin and Redmond and I, we went down to... So our family went to Blockbuster, but there was another video store, I forget what it was called, but it was closer to his side of town, and we went and got Under Siege, and his mom like really didn't pay attention to the movies we got, which was awesome, because my mom was a Nazi about it. And we're watching it, and we rewound that jumping out of the cake thing a billion times.
Did you...
And All I kept thinking was, is she going to show her boobs again in this movie? She has to show her boobs again, right? She's going to show her boobs again? It like flashed to, she's got a hat and she looks like the kid from Blank Check.
Yeah. It's really weird. And then it desexifies her from that moment forward, where just like, and then she's just kind of whiny the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And yet, Oh, wait, what were you saying?
Well, the fun fact on IMDb that tells you is that Seagal was... This girl wasn't originally...
I did read that. You're right. I did. I forgot. I did. Because I watched the movie I watched the movie last week instead of last night, like I usually do. Yeah.
The best line in that fun fact is Seagal was like, I think we should get a stripper involved to add some humor to the movie. That's Seagal's twisted sense of humor.
Oh, Seagal.
Guys. We're going to need a stripper in here. We need a stripper in here.
There's no humor.
That's me specifically.
Seagal and a cholo, kind of.
Yeah, well, that was like me specifically doing the line where he goes, you're in the Navy. It's not a job. It's an adventure.
Oh, I cut out for this hero bullshit. You're in the Navy. Remember? It's not a job. It's an adventure.
He does sing his words there.
He does
there,
sing it.
Oh, my God.
He either whispers or sing. He either whispers everything or has like a really kind of campy sense of humor behind it.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, he totally plays up his Cajun-ness.
Yeah.
Which, he's from New Orleans, right, or something,
yeah,
I guess.
Something like that.
Because that one Lawman show was all in New Orleans, so just assume he's from there.
I mean, I was huge. The first Seagal film I ever saw was the first artistic masterpiece of Steven Seagal was Out for Justice.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hard to Kill is a classic.
Yeah.
Which is, was it on here?
Above the Law is
Above
a good
the
one,
Law
too.
Is good,
but
obviously.
All of those, he does, like, more badass things than in this one.
Yes.
This one, it's like every fight scene, you're like, this is gonna be sick. And then it lasts 5 seconds.
Yeah, he kills everybody, like, too quick
you're
in,
like,
this.
And you're, and
knife.
It also has the worst acting from a stunt team ever, where it's like, there's one part where they set the two guys they send down to find him in the freezer, I think it was. They have stocking caps on, and they're super short. They look like the burglars from Home Alone.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to dispatch.
They're so doe-eyed. Yeah. They're in there going,
every bad guy looks so shoot? Nice. They're
and the, like, the guns have silencers, but are as loud as if they didn't have silencers. We usually do the plot in 5 minutes or less, okay? Or the plot in 5 minutes.
We're going to try and do it
in 2 minutes.
Because
this movie is very, very simple.
Very simple.
Okay. We're going to count down here.
Seven.
In Five, four, three, two, Ben, go.
Okay, so it starts off basically, you're on a ship. They're talking about everybody's getting yelled at for this helicopter that wants to land, and we find out that it's a surprise party for the captain of the ship. Seagal's all being all manly with Gary Busey and fighting him in the
sweet
kitchen.
Sweet chef hat to the
side.
He's the chef. He's the cook.
And clearly he knows a little something because he beats the hell out of Gary Busey in the beginning. And then, Tommy Lee Jones is a rocker on this helicopter with the stripper on there. They land. Turns out Tommy Lee Jones and the band, I guess half the band, maybe not all of them, they're
the
terrorists.
It's from Animal House. It's a blues band.
Yeah. They're all terrorists. They take over, kill everyone. Kill a bunch of people.
36 minutes into the movie, we still have no idea why they're taking over the ship. They're just like, well, we're time to take over.
Takes a really long time for anything to happen. Gary Busey comes in and drag shoots the captain. Your turn.
Yeah. So Gary Busey's now a bad guy. We didn't see that one coming. All of us, he wants to be the captain. He puts on the jacket. Seagal's still in a meat locker, which isn't cold, by the way. You can't see his breath. It just looks like a room with meat hanging in it. And he comes down to shoot a bunch of people, and now Seagal's out of the meat locker, and we found out he's a Navy SEAL. He has to take over Busey, Tommy Lee Jones.
Now, the next person he runs into, though, is when he's scoping out the place, and he kicks a cake aside.
Cake.
And then
boobs.
Erica, boobs.
Awesome boobs. A little strip scene, boobs. Like, now she's part of the team. Now she's Kid from Blank Check. Weird hair coming out. Yeah. Now we find out Seagal's a Navy SEAL. He's not only a cook, he's the greatest Navy SEAL
in history.
He kills
a bunch more people. Then they free his friends that happen to be a couple cooks and a couple old guys.
Yeah.
And then this ragtag group of heroes go around just kind of blatantly out in the open.
Yeah, not a lot of hiding.
He goes from very covert to blowing up
seconds.
A giant helicopter.
Giant helicopter.
In the open.
He's making homemade bombs all over the ship.
He's the Macaulay Culkin. He's the Kevin McAllister of superheroes.
Die Hard meets Home Alone on a boat.
Yes. And then, so anyways, at the end.
Shoots a missile, sinks a submarine, Gary Busey, he gets killed.
At the end,
fights Tommy Lee Jones.
Knife fight.
Knife to skull.
Knife
to skull. Head in monitor.
Kisses Erica in front of everybody. Somehow she's now a Navy SEAL.
2 minutes.
She's not a Navy SEAL. She's in the Navy.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my first
honorary induction into the
Navy.
Hey, Steven, can we get that Navy clip again real quick?
Oh, boy, I ain't cut out for this hero bullshit.
We're cut out for this
Navy,
hero bullshit.
Remember? It's not a job. It's an adventure.
Titties McGee is in the Navy.
It's
honorary inducted.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things at the end where she's standing there in a full-on Navy outfit.
Yeah.
Clearly, like, maybe 12 hours after this has happened, if that.
Seagal makes her carry, like, all the guns and grenades and everything.
She's
and he's just holding a pistol. Like,
she's basically...
It's not Uja.
She's
it's
basically his pack mule the entire...
Yeah.
He just basically is like, here, follow me. Follow me around if you want to live. You know it's going to be...
It adds some humor to the movie, Ben.
It does.
Anything that I know about comedy... It's that strippers add humor.
It's that ex cast members of Baywatch are a hoot.
Ooh, Yasmin Bleeth.
Especially all of them.
Hysterical.
Especially the ones that aren't David Hasselhoff have just such a knack for humor.
Really?
It's just,
Cody, you got Stephanie, Nicole Eggert, Pam Anderson.
You know way more than.
All titans of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, when I think comedy.
Hobie.
When I think comedy, I think Pamela Anderson.
It goes Carrot Top. Pamela Anderson, Louie Anderson, Anderson Cooper, and
Kevin Hart.
Round out the top five. Kevin Hart.
Was that a Kevin Hart impression?
Yeah, because he's always clapping.
You know what? I may not always find Kevin Hart funny, but damn, is he enthusiastic.
I just want to...
He's just a guy that you want to high-five because you're like, you're having so much fun doing what you're doing.
You got to low-five him, though. You got to low-five him.
Yeah.
See what I did there,
what were we talking about?
I'm talking about The Siege. But and then all of a sudden, he blows up a helicopter, and there's Kevin Hart doing his stand-up acts on the ship. Hey, guys.
So let's, should we start with the plot holes from the beginning? My favorite, can we do my favorite extra one line from a movie ever?
Go ahead.
This is one of the best performances from a one line actor ever.
Oh, it's only like 40 degrees in there, man.
It'll be fine. He's got a guard.
Yeah.
Play that again real quick, see, because that's incredible.
It's only like 40 degrees in there, man.
It'll be fine. He's got a guard.
We were talking about
this. Bill and Ted? Did Bill and Ted jump on the ship to help them rescue him?
We were talking about this before the show, and how it seems like the actual I forget the guy's name, the lead actor in that who's asking the question, was just dumbfounded by that guy's delivery, and so he just goes, "Yeah," and I can just imagine the director just being like, "All right, sure."
And Steven Seagal again in the meat room. We're not. It's a, okay.
That's another thing. This movie locks up its hero for like a good 20 minutes of the movie.
I was looking at the counter going, okay, we still don't know why they've taken over the ship.
And
then they cut to the war room. There's so many long scenes in that war room that are just
boring. And there's the greatest background actor ever who gets one line. She's sitting, for you folks at home, rewatch this. She's sitting between the two generals that are always talking.
Yeah.
And she's just awkward. I felt so bad for her because she has no lines and she's just right there on camera, just awkwardly like over-listening.
Taking notes. Just
over-listening like this, like, oh.
Yeah.
And like, and I just, because I know as an actor, when you're stuck just sitting there as a, like,
a prop. Just,
yeah, she was a prop. And then she has one line where she's like, and she actually does the line pretty well, where she's like, oh, look, we got the missile something. But then it's back to weird over mugging.
Sir, we've got a missile situation.
Those scenes are so long where it's just, and of course they set up the typical 90s action cliche of, we're going to get a SEAL team on there, and if that doesn't work, we have to sink the entire ship and everyone in
we
it.
We only have two options,
two
guys.
Options.
SEALs
or kill everyone.
There's no dealing with Tommy Lee Jones in this movie. Tommy Lee Jones,
he's the best part of the movie.
Without a doubt. Because I didn't really know about Tommy Lee Jones until this movie.
Yeah, I think this was my first intro to him too.
Right? And then he blew up the next year in The Fugitive, and then since then he's just...
But he had to have done other stuff that our
yeah, we just don't know.
Our
about.
Adolescent brains just didn't see.
A lot of summer stock, a lot of theater, a lot of off-Broadway stuff.
Off-Broadway production of Pippin.
I remember him being in this movie about the Revolutionary War that we watched in school. I think it might have been Johnny Tremaine or like... it was... It was one where...
I love that you have IMDb right up here, and we're like, nah, screw it. We're just going to try and figure this out for 40 minutes of our show.
Tommy Lee Jones plays William Stranix, and Steven Seagal plays Casey Rybeck. Where are they coming up with these last names? They sound like Nintendo characters.
They sound like...
Stranix and Rybeck!
Rybeck sounds like a Nintendo character. Stranix sounds like a weird anti-depression medicine. It doesn't... Oh, wait. Did you find it?
No, hold on.
No,
so,
okay.
Under Siege of 92, he was in JFK,
okay.
Free Birds the Package, Lonesome Dove, a TV miniseries, Gotham Center, Stranger Man, Big Town,
nothing's better on a podcast than
Rolling Thunder. It's amazing how we did Smash Up Entertainment. I don't know.
Who cares? Whatever. Anyways, he had a lot of credits that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing I had in the beginning that confused me was Tommy
was in Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, in the beginning when he's on the helicopter, though, Tommy Lee Jones sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yes.
And it's clear to me that, like, half the band doesn't know him, but all the, like, catering staff does.
Yeah.
So how did... That was the first question I had. I was like, how did this dude just infiltrate a band where, like, they're all just like, oh, I guess we have a new front man today, and, like...
And then the band had the guns.
Some of them, though. And then some of them just like... Did all of them have guns in that scene?
I feel like they did.
Because what motivation does a jazz band have? How did he get all these people on board with this crazy
terrorist first and then you learn the instrument? Or are they recruiting for the terrorist based solely on your ability to play instruments?
Did they go to different jazz clubs and go, hey, you're pretty good at the saxophone. How do you feel about destroying our country?
Are you also a mercenary?
Are you a mercenary and do you happen to have some kind of like anti-American ideals? That's what it was. If they asked that question and the response was...
Yeah!
Then they were in the band.
In the band.
It's just so, and like it's such a ballsy move when Tommy Lee Jones goes, "Who's the highest ranking official?"
Oh wait,
in the
we're not even remember when Gary Busey plays this prick the whole time. Right? The whole beginning part of the movie, he's just an asshole. He's yelling
can
at...
Can we play the grossest spit take ever in a movie?
Yeah, we'll play the spit take.
Here's ahead. So here's just a...
Did they have to add the plop in there?
Can we hear that one more time?
Yeah, just
let me turn up the equalizers and make it really gross.
Waiting. Oh, here we go.
Little flavor. I hope they had to add that plop, or else that's the biggest.
You're in the Navy. It's not a job. It's an adventure.
Yeah. This movie is just full of sound clips.
We have to just rate this movie on how many yes at the end.
Yeah.
But no, that
yeah.
He's a total dick.
He is. And then the band is playing some crappy blues song in what appears to be a dive bar in the basement of the ship.
Yeah.
And then Busey, who's been a dick the whole time, comes dressed out as a woman to get the troops all riled up or something.
Like,
that makes absolutely
no sense. No, it's completely
no sense.
Out of character. It's like, I feel like Gary Busey, because he's kind of insane. I feel like he just came to the director that day and was like, "Hey, I want to wear a dress and some big old boobs." And the director was like, "Well,
you're Busey, Rivals Harloff."
I was like, "You're Gary Busey. I can't say all right." And then I'm gonna wear it for the next four scenes. Okay,
I'm also gonna bite seven of the crew. Like, what, Busey?
That's my thing.
So then he's in there.
I just want us to do the rest of it in a bad Gary Busey impression. That.
We'll keep doing. I'll be Seagal, you be Tommy Lee Jones, and we'll mix in some Busey.
All right. No, I don't know if I can do Tommy Lee Jones.
So they get Seagal out of the meat locker, aka the room o' meat, which has. This is Seagal acting cold.
It's a. That's pretty cold.
You notice when you're in a meat locker, your breath is probably going to come out.
Oh yeah.
Like a. Nope, nothing like that.
They didn't have CGI.
There's no steam coming up. There's no nothing.
Nothing.
I guess it's just a place where you cure the meat.
Yeah.
You don't actually keep it cold.
It's
a cure.
But the guy did say it's like 40 degrees in there, but maybe Seagal's just, Ryback is just impervious.
Steve, can you play how actually cold that was? I didn't hear that in that quote.
Another cold day in hell.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That makes sense then, because hell is hot from what I've read in different texts.
And sometimes, you know, when you're just having one of those days, you know, and you just got to say,
another cold day in hell.
You know, that's what all my friends back in Ohio are thinking right now.
Yeah.
They go outside and they're shoveling their driveway, and the first thing they say is,
another cold day in hell.
And, you know, you're on your way home from Guilty Movie Pleasures. You get stuck in a little traffic, and it's a really hot girl pulls up to you next to you in a convertible.
While you're picking your nose, and you look over and go, oh. I like that. Surprise me.
Little flavor.
And then she says,
we're on the remix with our sound bites today. Rick and
remix.
Okay, another plot hole for me. Okay, first of all, Busey's a very good actor. Okay, he's not when Tommy Lee Jones is on the god mic to the table o' dudes.
Oh, you wrote that too. Yeah, he's cracking up the whole time.
Yeah, he's laughing like it's the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah, and it's clear that it's not like him laughing in character. It's like they forgot to frame him out.
Yeah, yeah. He's totally breaking fourth wall. At one point, he probably even looks at the camera and he's like,
we should slow it down on the Blu-ray and see.
When Seagal puts a grenade on the door, you can blatantly tell, I had to pause it, that they're mannequins. The mannequins get blown away by the door. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mannequin that's just sitting there. And then, well, I mean, I'd rather them do that than a real human being.
Yeah.
But, no, you're right. It is super, because it's just this stiff, like, figure that just flies back. But like we were talking about, there's just so many inconsistencies where it's like he's a SEAL and he's badass, but then like they like we said, it just feels like Home Alone meets Die Hard meets Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yes.
But Speed 2 wasn't even out yet, so
no.
it was the precursor. Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Apparently, two of the writers of Speed 2 Cruise Control were extras in this movie and thought, we're going to write a movie about a bus, but then we're going to write this.
We're going to come
movie.
Full circle back to here. And the studios are going to be like,
guys, here's my pitch for Under Siege 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm excited.
Seagal is back.
Mm-hmm.
This time,
he's chubbier.
He's a little bit thicker.
He's been cooking a lot.
He's on. His bouillabaisse has been on point. Because that was like the whole thing. It's like, don't touch my fucking bouillabaisse.
And his pies? What about that? He's very obsessed with his pies in this movie.
Go get my pies out of the oven.
Sometimes when I'm at home and me and the missus we're having a nice little Sunday and she thinks that she can just walk out of the kitchen and not pay attention, I scream.
Go get my pies out of the oven. Yeah.
What's a pie? When I was at Marie Callender's and I was picking up some pumpkin pies, I smelled some burning and I looked at her and I was like, "What's your problem?
Go get my pies out of the oven."
It's really rude. She was a very nice waitress.
I really like the movie Pie, but sometimes the DVDs don't work. And if you know anything about pies, or if you know anything about these shits, if you know anything about DVDs, you gotta warm them up and then sometimes you gotta go.
Another cold day now.
Sure, why not? That one. Get my DVD of pies out of the oven. Sometimes I take the numbers 3.1413 and I put them in an oven.
Uh-huh.
And if you leave them there too long, I yell to my wife.
Get my pies out of the oven.
Yeah.
There we go. I like that. Yeah. I like that. When Pi from the movie Life of Pi was stuck on the boat out in the sun, he was getting a little burnt.
Yeah.
And God was like,
go get my pies out of the oven.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie about it's a religious allegory. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense. Really and truly, that kid.
I think we've exhausted that. Right?
The pies. I don't think we can go much further with any pies.
Has to be literal or somebody named Pi or a mathematical equation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what else to do with it.
Okay, so the machine guns with the silencers don't work.
Nope. Apparently, they're just for show.
Yes.
It's like, we're going to be really quiet. Gah, 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 gah. Oh, shit. Well, fuck it. They heard us. Gah, 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 gah.
That was gunshots. Nah, they were just party poppers. Yo.
That's another thing. Seagal makes so much noise throughout this. Like we were saying, he goes from covert, like just killing people ninja style, you know, with his karate skills, karate chopping a dude to the neck, which kills him instantly, ripping out a dude's throat.
You ever notice how loose Seagal is?
He's always
like, Van Damme is tight. Right? Seagal's like a lot of like the wah, wah, wah.
Seagal's more like Wing Chun style, which is the deflection of force. Yeah, I know that.
Did you ever hear the story about Seagal? Rob Schneider, this was told on Stern, I think, or something like that. Did you ever hear the story?
No.
So he's working with Seagal, and Seagal comes out of his trailer and he's crying. And Rob Schneider's like, what's wrong? He's like, I just read the most amazing script. And he goes, yeah, what's it about? It's about this man and his life. And he said, oh, yeah, who wrote it? I did. Seagal is an American treasure. He really is.
Seagal.
He blows up. They see him like running around the battleship. And his hiding behind things is just kind of like.
Yeah. Well, we should back up. I forgot this.
Go.
That he does a makeshift bomb in the microwave.
Perfect timing.
That just happens to blow up at the exact moment Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey and a couple bad guys are in there. At the exact moment.
He used the microwave as a detonator. Remotely? Did he know you were in the kitchen when that thing was going to go off? Or it just so happened whenever there's
you guys
movements.
Just have really shitty luck that you got down here 37 minutes and 45 seconds after he put this in.
I'm pretty sure that in the writing of that, it just got glossed over.
Yeah, it's just like, it's amazing to me how some of these things are just like, it's an action movie, who cares? It's a Seagal movie.
Movie cost $30 million, made $85. This movie was huge when it came out. Yeah. It was a big deal.
I mean, like I said, for its time, it was fun.
Yeah.
But when you hold it up to like some of his older... I went back and I watched a bunch of trailers for some of his other movies, and they're just like the bigger set pieces that happen on it. Like, bigger things he does, car chases, bigger stunts, and this one, it just felt like kind of like a lazy Seagal.
How about when the cannon goes off?
Hashtag lazy Seagal.
He fights from a chair in Under Siege 3.
It's like Rambo 4 with Stallone just sitting behind a gun for the end of the entire movie. It's like, I don't want to do anything with just this.
Porn. How would you rename Under Siege as a porn?
I wasn't ready for this. Under Siege as a porn.
Under Squeege?
I was going to say that.
Under Squeege.
Under Spleege.
Under Spleege. It's not on a boat. It's on a boat, but it's a smaller boat. It's not on a battleship. The porn couldn't afford a battleship, so it's just like a small Boston
and
whaler.
And it's they're taken over by female terrorists.
Yes.
And Plot, wait, Seagal Bareback. What's his Captain Bareback instead of Ryback?
Captain Stabbin?
Captain Bareback has to go and have sex with each of the terrorists instead of killing them. He has to basically seduce them to being good again.
William Stranex, played by Tommy Lee Jones. His name in the porn is Dickie Stranex.
Dickie Stranex.
Okay. He's known mostly for gangbang scenes. And his scene where when they finally win and all of the terrorist boob girls have come back to life so they can have sex with him.
Wow.
It's pretty good. It's a really good
Moving picture.
Under Squeege 2. It's still the same movie. They just had so much footage they just kept the movie going. Under Squeege 2. And then Under Squeege 3 is really the creme de la creme of the Under Squeege.
And Under Squeege 4 is when they just start phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah, they come back in Under Squeege 5. Is really good because
the return of Bareback.
Yeah, return because he was dead in 3. Yeah. And then there was a ghost in 4, but
it
now
was
he's
weird, which was a little weird.
Tommy Lee Bones does a great performance, though.
Tommy Lee Bones.
Thanks, Stephen. I totally forgot that he was in 5 and 6.
Stephen Seaballs.
Yeah. And then the franchise really, really jumped the ship, if you will, in 7. Because Under Squeege 7, there was vampires in Under Squeege 7.
Yeah. Well, and it all entirely took place in the water, like not in a boat. They were just swimming the whole movie.
Yeah, which didn't really make a lot of sense.
So they literally jumped the ship.
But when they came back when they found in Under Squeege 9, they found everybody and put them on a submarine. So that when they got back onto the battleship in Under Squeege 10, it was like, holy ship, it has come full circle. Guys, get the whole franchise on DVD. Let us know what you think of Under
Squeege. They're coming out with a Blu-ray box set of Under Squeege 1 through 10.
They have to fit them all into this.
It's for each cover is pretty much a rendition of the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like
a lot of dicks, a lot of butts.
A lot of butts.
Under Squeege. You guys are welcome.
I'm trying to look at my plot hole, see if I missed anything.
The whole movie seems like a plot hole.
It is. And we were talking about how...
Can we go to Tommy Lee Jones when things start going wrong and Agent Stripe? This is Tommy Lee Jones talking about what his life is like.
This is one of the best... Is this the Welcome to the Revolution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movement is dead. Yes, of course. Hence the name. Movement. It moves a certain distance. Then it stops, you see? A revolution gets its name by always coming back around in your face. You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch. So welcome to the revolution.
Drops the mic.
Oh my God.
Boom!
First off, only Tommy Lee Jones can pull off a whisper bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch.
Can we isolate just you tried to kill me, you son of a bitch? Can we Steven's giving us the one.
That's
really and truly though, when they reenacted this scene in Under Squeege 2.
Welcome to
the revolution.
You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch.
There we go. What's unfortunate is when it was 1999 and I got in this fight with this dude, Eric Day.
Yeah.
And when we got back together for Under Squeege 2 to reenact the fight, I told him right before the fight started.
You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch.
And then punched him square in the neck. Yeah. There was a throat rip in this movie.
Sick throat rip. Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite kills in this movie.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, I just want to keep hearing you tried to kill me, you son of a bitch.
That's what we're going to keep doing.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I got to think of something. Do another one.
Well, here's the thing. I used to be in a Braveheart reenactment troupe.
Ooh.
And we were reenacting during the Renaissance Fair of 2002. It was a great year, a really nice summer that year. And my buddy Brian, he was playing the Irish guy, Amish. His Scottish best friend, Amish. And he got a little too serious. And I had to pull him aside and say,
"You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
Yeah.
The other day, I was eating a turkey burger, and I got halfway through, and I realized
was it Marie Callender's?
No, okay. I realized it was pink,
and
I was like, I don't think turkey can be rare.
No.
So I looked to the waiter, and I said, "What is this?
You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
Yeah.
He was very apologetic.
Funny that you say that, right? Because I was drinking a nice cup of Earl Grey tea. My throat was a little hoarse on Monday, and I tasted some poison in it. And I turned to the girl who served me in it as we were reenacting Under Squeege 4, and I said,
"You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
Yeah. Weirdly enough, it was arsenic, but I survived.
I was walking the other day, and I got this little shit dog came up to me and started nipping at my heels and bit my ankle. And I thought, what if this dog had rabies? And I looked at the owner and I said,
"You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
God. I was on the bus, right? And this bus couldn't go below 55 miles an hour.
Really? That sounds familiar.
I know. Crazy, right? Huh. And the bus driver was all over the place. Yeah. And I ran up to him and I said, I got to get somewhere. Stop trying to...
You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch.
You know, it's weird. I was playing this video game. Huh. And then the bad guy that I was fighting in the game came out into the real world.
What?
And started chasing me. And finally, we had a square off where he fell on a bunch of glass. And I looked him in the eyes and I said,
"You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
Oh, wait, that's the plot to Virtuosity.
Oh, wow, damn. Oh, you know what? You know what it is? I was frozen after I blew up an entire building.
Yeah.
And along with a guy named Simon Phoenix. We were buddies back in the
day. Yeah, I remember that guy, yeah.
And they unfroze me.
I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. And they unfroze me 30 years later after my family and daughter and my wife had already died in the big quake. And I turned to the captain that froze me and I said,
"You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
Yeah.
Me and my buddies were kind of awkward teenagers. Mm-hmm. We all looked kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we were kidnapped by this, like, dog catcher type guy. And he threw us in the state home for the ugly.
Ooh.
And then we found out that a lot of our other friends, including Santa Claus and some other people, had been murdered in there because they were ugly. Like, we're talking, like, full-on extinction style. And I looked at the guy, the warden, and I said,
"You tried to kill me, you son of a bitch."
Man.
That's from the Garbage Pail Kids movie, in case you were wondering.
We will be doing that on Guilty Movie
Pleasures. I'm pretty sure 90% of the audience was really confused by that, including Josh Pacuga.
I was like, "Where is this one? I feel it.
I feel it in my bones.
I feel it." Weirdly enough, I got cancer, and I decided I should start cooking meth just to save my family.
Oh, okay,
and
don't ruin anything. I haven't seen the whole show.
Oh, okay, and I just turned to my friend and I said,
"You tried to kill me."
Couldn't go through the whole Breaking Bad plot scenario because Ben, like an idiot, has not seen the show.
I haven't seen the whole show. Hashtag Ben like an idiot.
Ben, comma, like an idiot.
Yes!
This movie's so good.
What other sound clips do we have? Because there's... Oh, well, first off, wait. But there's also... they do the typical bad guy thing where Tommy Lee Jones just holds a gun to him and tells him the entire plot instead of... Tommy Lee Jones could have avoided an eyeball poked out and a knife to the head. And then that's the thing. We forgot the three-peat he does.
Yeah.
Pokes his eye out, stabs him in the head, then shoves his head through
a radar monitor. Yeah.
He could have avoided all that if he shot him immediately.
Hands down is the greatest knife fight. Now, listen,
it's a great knife fight.
I don't know how to knife fight. I have no idea. But holding the knife like this seems to be the popular move.
It's because it's like the praying mantis attack.
It's like how
because you can play stab or you can slice from that. Because here, how would you? There's only one thing you can do. You can't. So you got to be
this. A lot of this.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just they were both, and who knew that Tommy Lee Jones had those skills?
I know.
I do wish that they would have shown him fight a little earlier or something to show that he was a badass instead of just like... Because
runs like a mercenary
thing. Yeah, you hear that, but you want to see that shit, you know? You want to see him be more than just a crazy kind of Mick Jagger, or Keith Moon is what he comes across. Yeah, exactly. Got the moves like Jagger. I wish that Gary Busey and Seagal had a fight too. None of the giant.
Busey just dies in an explosion.
There's also the big guy that's like walking around where you're like, wait, this guy's totally gonna fight Seagal, and then they're just like, kak, kak, kak.
Done.
Nothing. All the main bad guys that have been the main inner circle around Tommy Lee Jones, Stranix, just get shot in the end really quickly by a bunch of old dudes and chefs.
Point out two things. One, they blow up the submarine and they're like, "Won't the nukes blow up?" And he's like, "It doesn't work like that. They just float away." I'm like, so you're just dropping nukes in the ocean?
I'm pretty sure the radiation would crack eventually and just poison everything.
Everything in the ocean, so there's that. And also, for basically the entire movie, Seagal doesn't break a sweat. He doesn't get dirty.
Because he's not carrying anything.
He's got
his pack mule behind him.
He doesn't
him.
Get a cut until the last fight.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're probably going to need some stitches, bro. And he's like, ha, watch this. And then he makes out with the girl.
Yeah. Also, that scene where the gunfight, where it's just him, he's sitting for half the gunfight just like this.
He's on the phone.
Yeah.
sausage pepperoni.
It's the laziest gunfight
what
I've
do you
ever
want?
Seen.
And the girl answers, I'm sorry, he's in a gunfight. Can he call you back? You're like,
that sounds exactly like her.
Hi, my name's Iris. Yes. No, he's in a gunfight.
He's in a gunfight. Can he call you back? And then he's like, I'm going to. And then he's like, all right, enough of this. And his big play is to do a cross machine gun run where he's just like, how does he aim like this? It's impossible to aim like that. You cannot aim.
What about just going like this?
Why doesn't he just go instead of
all I can think is that this is tight quarter machine gun. This is the proper use of machine gun in tight quarters.
Maybe you know, just because we haven't used a lot of, maybe it's a SEAL technique that we don't know.
He's the greatest Navy SEAL to ever cook a bouillabaisse, I'll tell you that much.
He was.
All right, I think we should probably just wrap this up.
No way. We're doing so well. We only got 34 minutes. We got more to do. We got more sound takes, sound clips.
What else we got in there, Steven?
I made
something for you guys.
Gary Busey, when he triumphantly rips off his Band-Aid and then gets, he's like, we got him. What's that? What do
Steven,
we have?
I think Steven made a super mix.
I love that Josh was just going to bail on this shit. Like,
I'm done.
I'm done with this.
Well, that's just kind of how the movie ends anyway. They're like,
yeah. And that's totally like Seagal kisses him like, Erica like a pimp at the end. And
yeah.
He's just like,
watch this. All the dudes are sitting around. And you know, there's one guy in the background going, like, can we see your tits again?
Come on, that was really
Can
fun.
You show boobs again? I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I was so bummed out we never saw him again because I'm like, holy cow.
I remember.
This is
yeah.
a lot of boob action because those are some good. I mean, she looks so hot. And under Squeege 4. That was huge.
Wow.
Dude, that one crushed box office records.
How did you make that so fast?
He's a genius.
Photoshop.
Good Lord.
Guys, Steven, can you tweet this out from the Popcorn Talk and tag us in it? Under Squeege 4. Listen, we all know that in Under Squeege 3, they kind of. But then Under Squeege 4.
Yeah.
You know?
It came back.
It really did.
It came back everywhere. It came back everywhere. And it was
trying
just
to get it on the tricast.
Thunder.
Give me one sec.
Okay.
It came back like the thunder. What other clips did we have? I love. We had so many.
Steven's working on Under Squeege 5.
Oh, okay. He's working
I just
on
wrote
Under Squeege 5.
Seriously enough, though? Really? I have the script Under Squeege 12.
Okay? Yeah?
I wrote it.
You did?
I did.
We should probably pitch it to him right now.
See, here's the thing.
If you're listening, the producers of Under Squeege 1 through 10, apparently 11 was made and we just didn't mention it earlier.
No.
Or Josh just skipped it and went to 12.
Well, no, see, here's what happened.
It's your trailer music.
There we go. Under Squeeged, this fall, coming to a theater near you. You've seen 1 through 10. 11 was locked in international distribution and never brought out in the United States. A story of one man and a whole lot of women on a boat, then not
headed
on a boat, then back on a boat again, then on a random bullet train, then back on a boat because it's porn and no one cares. Then with Tommy Lee Bones making his triumphant return as the 80-year-old
and Penis Seagal.
Penis Seagal and Tommy Lee Bones, along with Erica always on her back. I was doing so good and then I couldn't
you
do
crushed it.
Erica always on her back.
Erica always on her back. Cause when you just couldn't squeege enough, you had to under squeege.
There's always room for more squeege.
When boats and tanks and helicopters and planes and more boats and more and bullet trains and a bus with Sandra Bullock.
Are all
Bullock.
Covered in squeege.
Squeege.
There's only one more place for squeege.
Crossing machine guns.
Outer space. Under Squeege 12. In outer space. Mars is about to get squeeged.
Part of the meteor that wasn't exploded in Armageddon bone is back.
Yep.
Under Squeege 12. Michael J. Fox got us a hoverboard, but did he anticipate all of the boobs that would be on the hoverboard?
P.S. We forgot to mention Michael J. Cox is co-starring in this film. This film is not yet rated, but most likely will be rated XXX. That might be my favorite thing ever.
Steven, could you save that sound? Because we need to use that trailer music way more often.
I hope that entertained our audience half as much as it entertained me.
Oh,
because Holy shit.
Under Squeege 4.
Does this get counted now as explicit material? I still think this episode was less explicit than our From Dusk Till Dawn one.
I agree.
And we made an entire 12-part porn franchise.
Yeah. I mean, guys, this is a great movie to make fun of now. It was a brilliant movie at the time. I think
a week diehard.
We're not going to use Stallone yells this week. We're going to use Yaz.
Yeah. Now, what does a yeah mean versus a Stallone
so
yell?
So five yas would be it's terrible. One yeah would mean it's amazing.
I give it 2.5 yeah.
2.5.
No, 3 yeah.
3 yes. I'm going to agree with the 3 yes.
Yeah. We're making
he had it.
I think that because yes. It's a pretty average action movie, you
really?
Know.
There's not. I mean, there's some good explosions.
Yeah.
There when Tommy Lee Jones gets blown back by the cannon. I'd like to point out that they shoot those cannons quite regularly, and people don't get blown back like that every time.
No, and also the fact that they get away with doing a lot of stuff under the radar with no one noticing.
Yes.
So I think maybe next time they should, if Tommy Lee Bones was going to do this again for like. A sequel to Under Squeege, then maybe he should bring a little bit more catering staff and a little yes. bit less useless band members that just disappear for the rest of the movie. Because yeah. those band members do disappear for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, they're gone.
Because they're clearly different people than the catering staff who shoot up the place. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, you know, bring like a...
I think maybe probably what redeems with the movie is when he drops a steel girder through the guy.
Oh, that's, yeah, that whole sequence is...
Yeah.
And the fight... We forgot about the fight scene in the tool shed, or the tool section.
Yeah.
Where he throws the guy on the... Whatever the buzzsaw thing. I don't know.
Tools, oh, and he shoves
and
him
he
in
shoves
there.
The guy's shoulder on
oh,
it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But then again, that scene is like 10 seconds
it's
long.
It's so quick. There's not a lot of drag out. Listen, you guys, Skull doesn't... He doesn't mess around.
He doesn't...
Under Squeege 12. It's in a desert. There's... oh, no, that's outer space. That is a...
That is
a meteor.
That is... that's the Taj Mahal, the Mars version of the Taj Mahal, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, though, after Under Squeege 12, Tommy Lee Bones, he totally dissed the entire franchise
yeah.
because we had...
He went legit.
Yeah, and then Under Squeege 13.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, I hear that he's actually... Tommy Lee Bones is going to be in the next Wes Anderson movie. He's trying to go, like, completely legit now.
Oh,
yeah.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah,
good
yeah.
stuff. Good
oh,
stuff.
I'm sorry. It was Wes... Hand
Jobberson? We'll go.
Under Squeege 13.
I can't do another one.
The Grand Budapest Hotel. You saw the quirky, amazing film by Wes Anderson. Now watch one that just has a whole lot of boobs. Let's
more
face it, teenagers.
Boobs.
You'll enjoy this one more.
More boobs, same amount of squeege.
It's
under
like
Squeege.
It's like Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch, but better because there's boobs. Which Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch was basically Inception for dumb people.
Guys, Under Squeege 13. Just when you thought you couldn't have him, just when you thought Squeege couldn't get any squeegier, we got 13 more Squeege scenes.
Just, audience, just when you thought we couldn't drag this joke out any longer, we've managed to add 7 minutes to our show since when Josh McCuga wanted to bail on this.
Guys,
aren't you glad we didn't?
Thank you guys so much for watching Guilty Movie Pleasures. Enjoy all 13 Under Squeeges. Follow me on Twitter at Josh McCuga.
And I'm at Ben Begley Comedy.
Until next time, how many squeeges can you take?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.